Well, welcome to Two Sports Lust edition of our hockey recaps. And as the Ottawa Steelers, you talked about, have been eliminated from the ECHL Kelly Cup playoffs. I'm sitting here with Ottawa Steelheads head coach Brad Ralph and basketball coach. It was an early interview last year, unfortunately earlier this year. But at the end of the day, Utah was able to defeat you guys by 4-2. And you go back and look at the series, and without getting into too deep of detail, you can pretty much say Igor Bobkov was the reason.
Utah's goalie was good. I think the underlying story here is the amount of injuries we sustained over the last couple months of the season, and that started to trickle into playoffs. And, you know, we lost some substantial pieces, and, you know, it seems to be how it works out at this level, you know, based on, you know, how healthy you are, what players you get back from your affiliates will kind of dictate your fate. And so I would say, you know, Utah's goaltending, the injuries we sustained before playoffs and in playoffs, and, you know, I would say just not playing our best hockey at the right time of year.
A number of bad bounces throughout the series. I can think of at least two or three goals off the top of my head that go in literally off of a back-checking defenseman's stick or a weird bounce on the deflection, something along those lines. And then, again, six posts over the last three games. And some things you can overcome by putting in a chance on that, but there are other things that just happenstance goes against you.
Yeah, there's bad bounces in every game, but you've got to overcome that. And I think if you're the better team and you're playing better hockey, you will overcome any bad bounces or bad luck. But I think Utah played a better defensive game than we did, and it started with their defense and their goaltending. And with a relatively new defensive group to our team within the last couple of months of the season, and combine that with some missed assignments from our forwards, I think we just weren't playing well enough defensively in order to give ourselves a chance to win that series.
On a broader scale, on a larger thought here, what changes between the regular season and the playoffs for a lot of teams? Because the way the Steelers are playing down the stretch, very keen defense oriented, forwards are coming back, even the young defensemen were playing well, and all of a sudden the playoffs kick in, all the mistakes that either were covered up or weren't happening, it changes. And I'm sure it's not just a Steelhead issue with it. You can probably look across the league at professional NHL teams, AHL teams, something changes when you get to playoffs. Is it just adding playoffs to the game that sometimes changes the mindset of the players?
That's a good question. Certainly we were getting score, you know, we were giving up goals against that we weren't giving up during the regular season. So why did that happen? I couldn't really tell you. I think a bit of it was our inexperience. Like I said, we certainly didn't peak at the right time of year. I mean, you have to give Utah credit. They played a very tight defensive game. They frustrated our forwards, and, they preyed on, you know, basically counter-punching that series, and they were opportunistic and scored on the chances they had. And, I'd certainly say we out-chanced them every game, but, they bared down on their chances, and we gave them some better looks than we should have. So why did our team not play as well defensively as we were all year? I'm still trying to find that answer.
One of the things about this season for the Ottawa Steelheads is 48 wins, ties the team record, 102 points, second time in the ECHL era that the team's gone over 100 points for a regular season. And are we far enough away? We're sitting here and now on May 7th for about 2 weeks now, a week and a half after the elimination. Have you been able to sit back and kind of separate regular season and postseason, kind of sit back and go, you know what, the postseason didn't go the way you wanted to, but the regular season was pretty special?
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt. Unfortunately, we can't separate the two seasons. When we look back at it, I mean, we recruited a hell of a hockey team right from the start. We had arguably one of the best teams in the league, and we were able to perform well, throughout the course of a long season. You know, call-ups and injuries, we were able to maintain a high caliber of play, and we continue to win hockey games. So the regular season was a huge success. There's not a lot I would change during the regular season. And then obviously, playoffs was a completely different story. But certainly we were proud of our regular season.
He had 258 goals in the regular season, good for second in the conference. The Allen Americans, the only team to have more goals. And you look at their competition, whether their win-loss records alone, indicates that they may have a little bit easier stretch there. But that's a personal opinion. But still, 258 goals, nothing to laugh at. Wade McLeod, all-ECHL first team. Jason Vest, ECHL rookie team. Olivier Waugh, in the goaltender of the year, the MVP conversation at the end of the season. And that is shortchanging a huge part of the roster. Guys that had time and assist, you know, Alex Belzeal's a guy. You have weekly awards, monthly awards. David DeCastroza, Patrick Hovde, all those guys really played the role on this team in a leadership capacity all season long.
Yeah, I think it's a, you know, it's a testament to, you know, to our organization and the program we run that, you know, a lot of these players, you know, a lot of the players we've brought in the last few years continue to have career years. And, that's, you know, we're certainly proud of that. And, you know, the flip side of that is guys continue to move on, and you know, we'll have a large turnover this season due to the success we had. So it's great for the players, and it's great for organization that season. And you know, it's we're going to have to be, you know, willing to accept the fact that these players, a lot of these players, are going to move on.
You mentioned the defense that are kind of run through Neil Graham, assistant coach Neil Graham. All the defensemen this year ended up at even or better on the season, and you're including two guys in Martin Lee and Sean Boutte, who can come over with some pretty deep negative numbers defensively in that plus-minus stat, which some would argue doesn't mean a whole lot, some would argue means a ton for defensemen. Just talk about the ability of the forwards and defensemen all to kind of help, and everyone, you know, kind of got going in the right direction. I can't think of a team where all the defensemen is even or better, and the worst minus was a minus five.
Well, you know, if you looked at our playoff roster, we only had one defenseman that was here all year in Pat Cody. You know, we were able to plug a lot of holes, you know, throughout the course of the year with some very good hockey players. I think certainly the schedule worked in our favor there the last month, month and a half, and I think a lot of the players plus minus reflect that. But yeah, you know, if you look at our goals against, our shot attempts against, you know, we're proud of how we, you know, the systems we implemented this season and how we, you know, defended certainly against the rush, and we certainly dropped our shots against compared to last year down substantially, and I think that reflected in our goals against as well. So that was an area that, you know, after last year, you know, I certainly wasn't happy with, and we had to make some adjustments, and the adjustments we implemented worked.
And speaking of the goaltending, you went out and got Olivier Wye, your nemesis the last two playoff seasons. You bring him in this year, great during the regular season. I would say average in the postseason, not Olivier Wye as what we've seen in the playoffs, but certainly capable of winning a series of a couple things going the other way on the offensive side. You had Jack Campbell down for a couple of weeks. He played well. Chris Rollins comes in and plays well. Henry Cubillado, the great question mark at the beginning of the season, actually ends this year with the AHL. Jack Campbell, as a matter of fact, over in the World Nationals right now. He's had a couple of games, 1-1 over there. So goaltending, for the most part, one of the big question marks on who was going to be there this year turned out to be not really a big deal at all when you go back and look at it.
Yeah, I'd agree that our goaltending was fairly stable through the course of the year. You know, I don't think it was a bright light on this team. I think with the team we had in front of them, I think some goalies could put up some bigger numbers, including Olivier Wabba. Olivier was good. I think there was two stretches through the course of the season that I thought he was playing his best hockey and was amongst the best in the league. Certainly, he had that injury towards the end of the year that I think slowed his progression down, and yeah, he'd agree that he didn't play his best hockey in playoffs as well, but you know, considering how things can go with that position in this level, we can't complain. It was, as like you said, as sound as you could expect.
One of the other things that was an Achilles heel for this team this year, and for the most part, it was a strict failure, was the power play. You ended up on the season 15% in the regular season. The playoffs were very off, not talking about for the power play. You mentioned a couple of times during some of our pre-game interview conversations we had that it was streaky, and sometimes like is it possible to explain something like that where you can go from a team that the power was working in the last couple seasons to this year where it's like, all right, let's just stay 5-1-5 and don't worry about calling penalties on those guys because we'll just score even strength.
Well, the mindset after last season, you know, obviously we had a great power play. The mindset was, you know, power play players don't get it done in playoffs. So we intentionally didn't recruit players that were naturally, being on power play was one of their biggest assets. So we knew that going into the season. We certainly, as we were recruiting, we didn't, it was important that players, we knew the goal production that we'd get out of these players, and we certainly took that into consideration when we were recruiting last summer. So it's not like we were giving up any production in that we weren't recruiting power play players. So was it a concern? No. Obviously, we all understand the importance of scoring that big goal on the power play, but it obviously didn't play a factor in our season with 48 wins. And so you could use that the same philosophy moving into playoffs. It wasn't something we were going to rely on. Oftentimes it's 2-3 penalties in playoffs. So, where we faltered in playoffs is we weren't getting it done 5-on-5.
And then to go back on the Utah series, if you go back and look at the special team numbers, Idaho had one power play goal, Utah only had three. So you look at it. It really isn't a big discrepancy where Utah ran away with the series. It was a penalty kill outstanding in the playoffs, 86% during the regular season as well. One of the things, and we'll kind of talk on some broad terms to start looking towards next year, one of the things that I found interesting was normally you look at the leadership and those letters on the team. You have a captain and two assistant captains. At the beginning of the season, you decide three assistant captains, and as call-ups and whatnot happen, they rotate around a little bit. What was the reasoning behind that? Was that something that you learned from last year, maybe instead of having a captain have some assistance? Because that was one of the things they talked about after last season, that you had things to learn after last year, and it was just one of those adjustments that you made?
Yeah, I'd definitely say we had some personnel issues last year, 2 years ago. So moving through the summer, I think it's important that you win and lose by committee, and I think moving into this season, it was evident to me that we didn't have a clearly defined captain, and we had a lot of leaders on the team, guys who had been here 2-3 years, and that was an asset to this club, and I wanted to reinforce that with not necessarily naming one player as a captain, but hey, we're a team that has multiple leaders here, we're going to do this by committee, and I think that mindset, certainly throughout the regular season was beneficial. When guys would go down or get called up, we had other guys that could step in, and it was a team atmosphere all year long. And the one thing that I would say is in playoffs we didn't have those players step up and really be that guy that could put the team on their back for a period or a shift. And I think when you lose guys like Matt Case, Scott Valentine, Charlie D'Addario, those guys are leaders that will show you how to do it in difficult times, and I think Pat Coley, he's been the one guy here that has consistently shown that leadership, and we didn't have enough other guys step up.
I think the one thing that anyone who was around the team this year and even came out to the games and followed the team and talked about it is that it was a real team. It was a cohesive unit in past years. And just the way it works, you put 20 guys in the locker room, you're going to have a fraction over here and a faction over here. They're going to kind of go their separate ways. But these guys, to a man, they all seem to enjoy being around each other. The locker room seemed to be one of the happiest places they could possibly be, whether it was a losing streak, winning streak, whatever. And no one, I don't want to say no one took themselves too seriously, but it just seemed like everyone could relax, screw around before a game, but as soon as that puck dropped, everyone was focused on what they needed to get done. I think it's rare to find a group of guys that can come in and shift people in and out and not have the chemistry of the room be totally upset.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt the depth of our team being able to produce and perform when injuries and call-ups happened was the strength of our team. Certainly, you know, the atmosphere and the drive we had within the locker room was another asset that we certainly had all year long. We specifically recruited high character players that played a jump tempo style, that were in good shape, and I think that showed in our depth and how we continued to score goals even though it wasn't on the power play. So it was a great regular season, and like I said, I think the injuries we sustained, and we sustained a lot the last 2 months of the regular season, really impacted this team moving forward. And when we got up against the big physical team in Utah, that, you know, there was two games in the series where the refs really let them dictate the physicality. I think it not only did we lose some key players' injuries, but it certainly put us on our heels. And this was not a team that played scared all season long. So the injuries took a toll on us, unfortunately, at the wrong time.
Hey, you talk about injuries, look at a guy like Jason Bass, who only played a couple of games in the playoff series. Steve Wheeler came back from a long-term injury. Was playing well, and he kind of got banged up. Taylor Peters was on assignment from the NHL. He gets banged up in the series. And I'm sure you have a list of all the little nicks and bruises and bangs. We don't need the list here, but obviously, when you get those guys, Matt Hayes not even on the playoff roster because of injury he had towards the end of the season. You take some of those big names out of there, and then you add in some of the calls that you have with guys from the back, like a Charlie Nodaro, Scott Valentine. I think you're absolutely right. Every team is going through bumps and bruises, but I think it's the how bad of it is and the timing of, like you said, it wasn't something that would be already out for a week. It was already out for 2 months. I mean, Case was out for about a month and a half before he was off the roster. Rob Rizmire took a bump in the middle of March and was never heard from again after coming back from injury at the beginning of the season. So I think I'll agree with you on that one. The injury certainly played a huge role. That's just some of the names, not knowing who was playing with injuries at the end of the year. A couple more questions about the team, and then we'll kind of go broad with the ECHL. One of the things of this team, you were able to bring so many players back from the previous season for this past season. You look at some of the rules on roster regulations and veteran things like that. You have guys like a David Nystrom and a Patrick Culley and a Matt Case. Those are just three guys off the top of my head. Galen Patterson's probably getting somewhere close to the veteran game numbers. That's going to have an impact on who they want to come back next season. And like I said, we're sitting out here a week and a half. Have any thoughts, decisions, conversations been had? And you get a chance to break some news here on the show?
It's still pretty early in the process here. Obviously, last year, we brought in a lot of guys that were on the cusp of becoming veterans. So we knew going into this coming season that we would have a substantial amount of turnover. And that's just sometimes that's how it plays out. We had a lot of returning players that wanted to come back and make one more run at it. So there will be a lot of turnover, and that's there is at this level. It's a little cyclical, and you've got maybe a two, three year time period, and then guys start moving on, and based on some conversations and what I'm looking at, we're going to have a few returning players next year, which, will make it difficult. There'll be that much more importance on recruiting and how what caliber of players we're able to bring in for next year.
Well, I know we talked last year, we had a half dozen whiteboards in the office. We're not that far yet, but I do see a couple of them up and around. You are starting to get your list together. I know that you and Neil Graham do a pretty good job throughout the course of the year of keeping up on not only who's going to be available for the current season, but also where some players might be for next season as well. So we look forward to seeing that roster construction as it comes together probably in the next couple of months as we head towards the summer. The ECHL, let's start over. The CHL folds. The ECHL gets 7 new expansion teams. They create their central division. That played a little bit into some of the playoffs this year in terms of the divisional playoffs are going to be the same all the way along, 4 teams in, a lot like the NHL. Next year, some realignment with the AHL, grabbing some teams, moving things around. 3 divisions now going to be in the Western Conference. Those 3 division winners are going to make the playoffs. And now you're going to have 5 for everybody else in that conference to make the playoffs. Is that harder than what it was this year, where you had to be best 4 out of 7? Now you have to be essentially top 8 out of 16? Or does it remain to be seen?
Yeah, we'll see how it plays out. Certainly this year, we're in, I thought one of the best divisions in the league, if you know, second to the Southeastern Division, but all good hockey teams, you know, Alaska, Utah, very good teams down the stretch. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out next year. Obviously, I think, you know, our division will be one of the best in the West, and but the good thing is, I think it's a more balanced schedule. We're playing all the other teams, so I personally like the format.
You also list teams, some new teams. I mean, we talked about, we didn't really talk about it, but you look at the schedule this past season. I don't think you went outside of the division for even one game this year. Once Colorado moved back in after the CHL showed up, or the former CHL team showed up, and now you have, you're going to make some trips out east. You have these teams coming back here. You're going to play other divisions, new teams down into Texas, which is all right to see those teams. Are you looking forward to being able to game plan against some different coaches and some different styles of play after seeing, you know, Alaska, Stockton, all those guys?
Yeah, for sure. It'll keep it interesting. Certainly won't limit the amount of work we do around here, but you know, a lot of it comes down to your schedule, who you're playing, when you're playing them, what kind of shape are they in terms of injuries and call-ups, and I think we certainly benefited this year from that, but next year, you know, you just want a level playing field. You want everyone to have the same challenges you do, and if at the end of the day you come out on top or on the bottom, then you can call it good. But I certainly like the fact that we're playing out of conference, out of division. I think it will lead to a truer gauge on who the best teams are, you know, coming into the season points wise.
And my last question on this one is, with the CHL folding, the Allen Americans were taken into the ECHL, and Idaho has been the Dallas Star and Texas Star affiliate for the last bunch of years down here. I know it's way, way too soon in the conversations for this. Is there any, I don't even know if concern is the right word, that Allen will take that affiliation next year, or have there been any conversations with the Stars, or is that something that's so far down the line that you don't want to talk about right now?
I mean, at this point, I think, you know, we've certainly had our conversations with Dallas, and, you know, they respect what we do here off the ice and on the ice. I think it's been a great relationship since I've been here, and we hope to continue that.
And for anyone who doesn't know ECHL, your season can pretty much be determined by what the affiliate uses. So that we're talking about now, because it can be important depending on which players come back down. But Coach, any final thoughts on the 2014-15 season and the participation in the Idaho Steelers? Obviously, it was a great run for the fans. They got to come down here, over 4,000 of them on average. Came down here to watch the home games. I know myself and Will Henneke, the home broadcast team, he travels on the road as well. Enjoyed this group of guys working with you and Neil. But any kind of final thoughts, final pieces of wisdom as you go into the offseason here?
No, you know, we're proud of what we're able to accomplish last season. You know, there's not a lot of things we would change, and moving forward, we're excited. There's going to be a lot of new faces in the lineup, but I think, you know, you can expect another great Idaho Steelers hockey team.
Well, I've been talking to Idaho Steelers head coach Brad Ralph, and the Steelers again a little short in the playoffs, but 48 wins in the regular season, 102 points, a very successful regular season, and I know Jerome and myself over at Zeus Sports Central look forward to following the game as we go into the future. Thanks for your time.
Thanks a lot.
All right, you've been listening to a Zeus Sports Plus interview with head coach Brad Ralph. Make sure you check out our regularly scheduled podcast later this week.